Welcome to CivCast, a civilization podcast focused on its social media platforms. Other modes:
Angel Edwidge,
José Gendron,
Troy Drew,
Dave Chen,
Diane Mabry.
Are we going to do a Girls of Civ World calendar?
I think there would be enough interest.
Everyone has to find a good photographer that they trust. Not your husband.
Is that your way of telling us you don't trust your husband?
No, I'm just saying I don't trust your husband.
You might be right on that one.
And when they took away our profile pics, I had no power anymore. I had to rely on Monty Python joke and magic joke.
It is the Saturday after CivWorld has ended, and I think we are all in a state of mourning and withdrawal.
Yeah, I think withdrawal is that very, very accurate. Wondering, you know, you come to the computer and you turn on Facebook and you're like, okay, what am I doing now?
Exactly. Lost. What are we supposed to do now? Yeah.
This is the saddest part. And someone else experienced this. I had a friend say, oh, I'll come play your Civ game with you on the last day.
Oh.
I was like, you're too late, dude. There's no way I could teach you the nuances of game on the last day.
Did you see the posting on Anonymous about the person who was, like, in the tutorial?
Yeah.
What?
That was so sad.
There was someone in the tutorial when it ended?
On the last day, yep.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I think we're supposed to, like, do a retrospective on things about the game that, I don't know, what are we supposed to talk about?
Well, I mean, we're trying to stay cheerful.
even though I know a lot of people were drowning in drink on Wednesday night.
I'm sure.
In a lot of ways, I've been, like, putting my life off for the last 2 years. So I've been like, well, now I don't have excuses. I can actually live again and read. I haven't read in over 2 years, really read. And I still haven't, but I just... No, what I've done
was... You're still looking for another game instead?
Exactly. I've been looking for another game.
Can I send invites to you all so I can get some bonus in War Commander? Because I need to get some resources, yo.
It's blocked. War Commander is blocked.
Oh, man.
Hit me up after the graduation. After my in-laws leave.
Leanne's in my sector. It's a lot of fun. We like to joke around with everyone. They don't know what the heck we're talking about. We start talking about stuff. That's fun.
Yeah, we've developed our own terminology that people outside of CivWorld don't understand.
No, that's the dynamic we had in Civ, I don't think can be replicated anywhere else, just because the games are not set up that way. It doesn't require the same investment and the same partnership that you had with people. So far, I haven't found a good replacement either.
We want to talk about buying source code, putting it on a pot.
It's an idea that's been floated in the CivWorld Anonymous group of, could we actually cloud fund a Kickstarter for attempting to go to 2K and Firaxis and say, hey, since you don't want to take care of it anymore, could we, the dedicated players who played even with all the bugs and everything that wasn't working for over the last year in the game.
I wonder if Sid Meier's would let us do it if we just left his name on it, you know? Like, if we brought him the measly amount of money we bring him, you know, be pitiful and sad looking. We'll leave your name on it. Let's keep it.
Still want his name on it.
Yeah, well, you know, I'd still want to have find the Sid.
Well, you could do that, but just not call it the Sid anymore. Yeah, I think maybe we should just do what, like Melissa said, we'd never be able to get the code from 2K. We'd have to start over and do it all from scratch, but copy the game enough to where we all know what it is. change a few aspects, you know, give it tweaks of our own, but get something similar. I mean, I would love that.
Yeah, something that involves the same level of team cooperation and actually has a working in-game chat.
That would be wonderful.
We know it's physically possible. We know there are games out there that exist that have in-game chats that actually work properly that have been going on for years and years. I have watched over the shoulder of my husband playing Ebony. He ended up being a vice host several times and had text information for 20 other players in his alliance.
Yeah, I don't know why Civ World never had that developed into the game where you have the alliances. That was something that we developed on our own. That wasn't built into the game, but it was a natural outcome. If we put it, you know, built our own game and put that in to where it was a social game to begin with, then maybe people wouldn't have been so negative to it from the beginning. You know, though, so many people are playing it on their own as individuals and never got the social aspect that we did.
Right. You actually had to start chatting with people and
break boundaries for some people. It's hard for some people.
Right. Yeah. Cause I think I got very lucky meeting a player very early on. It was like my third or fourth game when I met somebody who showed me, hey, here's how you set up a Facebook wall. Here's how you set up a Facebook chat. Here's how you can actually talk to people and coordinate things. And I took that with me and haven't stopped. Now I consider myself a semi-expert on how to use Facebook properly because I can set up secret groups and I can set up group chats. And now I can use Skype properly, too. Of course, I don't know how many times I couldn't even drive all the way home after work. I would have to stop at my parents' house because they live a lot closer to where I work in order to be online for a battle.
Yeah.
Because it was starting at, you know, I get off of work at 5:30 and the battle's starting at, you know, 5:45. And it's like, no, I don't have 20 minutes to get home. I have to be online now. I'm DM. I can't help it.
If you come from the regular Civ games and you're used to playing it alone, that's one problem. But, you know, even though there was a community out there and there were people talking to each other, some people would just come online for 10 minutes. That's all they had, you know, harvest, do this, do this, do this, and never participate in contests. And so they never really had time to speak to people.
But that could even be okay if you were communicating with the team and, okay, what do I need to do right now? And even right. In 10 minutes, you could put everything along for your team, you know, and develop your team goals. I always told people, you know, if you could come on twice a day for 10, 15 minutes, we could still get the team going the right way. I mean, it was the chaos, of course, but which I also noticed that out of what are there, six of us? There's the chaos of Lahurgs and Dave Chen. So I thought that was interesting.
Social people.
Yes, well, I would have recruited Dave if he hadn't been snapped up by Fame first.
Oh, absolutely. I felt like an idiot. I was like, oh.
Sure, if I'd known Dave way back when I was taking his and Ed's spam, I would have invited him a long time ago. Dave was one of the first people I was taking his spam, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I think I shut you off after a while. My whole philosophy on spam is, if you're going to hide yours from me, then I'm going to hide mine from yours.
And that was perfectly fine. I was fine with that, you know. But while you have it open, it's fair game.
Sure, sure.
So. And I've seen more fights break out over, you know, stolen spam than I can count now. I thought that was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. And then, you know, when the thought of a Valurg Fame game came up and Heather's like, hide your spam. We're going to store it. You know, I'm like, oh, really? Okay. And in the end, we couldn't even access the spam, some of us, without, you know, our computers pretty much crashing every time. And I was like, man, I really want that spam.
You mean with the SSL problem, that the server problem?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a server problem. That wasn't our own computers. Everybody thought that was your own computer, but that was the servers.
I know.
And I think the whole hiding of spam thing was kind of broken or something, because I was in a throwback game and I hid it from everybody, and yet a few people were still hitting my spam. I don't know how that happened.
Oh, I was still getting your spam, so.
Because every time it came up to post it, like in the last 6 weeks, you had to manually go in and rechange the settings because it was defaulting back to all friends or whatever sublist of friends that you had other posts set to. So it's like if you didn't remember to go do a custom, it was openly posting.
Well, back when we first learned about it, Martina and I were stealing it like crazy from everybody.
Yeah.
And then she disappeared. She went off into the geopolitical world and haven't seen her since. I missed her, by the way. I tried to invite her to the last game, but never got a hold of her.
Someone accused me of not being in the last few games. I was like, I was totally there until 4:30 in the morning, dude.
Well, yeah, I saw you, so.
There you go. Now I've got proof. Yay.
Stamina.
I couldn't make it, though. The European players were on till the, you know, it was only morning for them.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
When I went to bed, you know, they're all playing and doing everything, and I went to bed because I couldn't hang at all. And Doug was still up when I got up, like, at 5 here.
Yeah, because after Robin's Gamageddon ended, we went to Heather Pritchett's farm server to help her close it out.
Right.
And then I found out that Doug had stayed up till like 5 o'clock his time, and it's like, are you sure you're going to work the next day? I was surprised to see that he had gone to work the next day.
Wow.
He suggested taking a bereavement day, I think.
Yes, he did.
I didn't stay up, but I went to bed at a relatively normal time, but I couldn't sleep. I don't know, I was too anxious. I got up at like 4:30 or 5 and was playing Zimworld.
I was there with Heather when that game ended, and I told everybody how to get into her game real quick to try and help her end it, because she wanted to end it before Civ World ended. I'm glad she did. But, I went to bed at a relatively normal time.
And what happens with those 25 Civ bucks that the game gives you?
I don't know. I was wondering about that with Hannah. She won Robin's game, so.
Oh, did she? Oh, yeah. I won that, too. Okay. Good job, Hannah.
I think she Mona Lisa'd, too.
Grey Wolf is in a clan called the Barbarians now? Is that what I heard? He's now officially Grey Wolf the Barbarian?
Yeah, in Realm of Empires or whatever.
He didn't know that in the Civ Rev game that there is actually a Grey Wolf Barbarian clan that attacks your place, that you can attack. And I was like, did you name yourself after those Barbarians? He goes, no, I had no idea.
Yeah, well, that was the name on the Barbarians when they showed up in Civ World, too.
Yeah,
right.
Right, Grey Wolf.
Recorded for Episode 7 with Pawprint 42, Angel Ledwich, Shushu 62, and Dave C.
Now we know that the way to end the game is to just get Grey Wolf in there, and he will come and break your market for you.
That was impressive. I've never seen a market in the negative before. That was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, we were rolling econ errors, and it was the next thing was like negative $200 million. It's like, what?
Yeah.
But you can't do that if there's anybody in the game who's paying attention. I've been in a lot of games where fools have tried to do that to the game, you know, to give the game a finger, buy up all the commodities, and then quit. I've made a lot of money off of those. Those markets never got broken because you just buy the commodities when they go down. And so Rob was always very concerned about the breaking the commodities. And that was one of those, Rob, that one's easy to prevent.
Not so easy as we thought, though, because it happened in one of the throwback games, and it took us probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours with people buying. I think Renee ended up with like 800 of one commodity to try to get it to equalize, and it wouldn't settle down. It just kept rolling down.
Yeah, it was weird. And she basically got stuck with it. She wasn't allowed to sell it because it was gotten under false terms. So she was kind of bagged on that one.
Well, that was the game that we had 25 alts log in. and serially kill the market. And then, of course, we went after him in the next community game.
The only real hunt to ever have to be done.
Do not piss off the Civ World community.
Recorded for Episode 5 with Paw Print 42, Angel Ledwich, José Chantron, Rob G., and Dave C.
I really thought I was the queen of low mini score games, and then I met someone who insisted that they could never get above a 25, and I just had to convince them, you know, I'm willing to try, just keep trying. And yeah, I had to keep sending him like pictures of boobies every time he got his score up like 5%, but it was motivating him just to keep at it. And it wasn't my boobies. It
was... Unfortunately, it wasn't my son, although he was at 25 for a while.
It wasn't your son I was talking to, but it was... I only found out in the last 3 months how to transfer that minigame score. Just log into someone's barb game. You could keep your mini going by just putting your troop in a barbarian fight. And I was like, oh, I wish I had known this before. I didn't really understand it, though, because I never had the patience for the minigame. I didn't really care to know. Hate that minigame. I still hate it. I do.
And you beat my best score, too.
Only once.
But it took a hospital stay for Angel to get a decent mini score.
Oh. Yeah, they had to actually, pin my butt down with, like, surgery.
I remember that, yeah. That's...
Because I offered my gallbladder up to the Civ goddess.
That got me about the minigame score was how many people were upset that people got those high minigame scores when that was a real skill to develop. I mean, that really took practice. It wasn't something that you could just do right away.
No, I never got anywhere near those kind of scores. My high was like a 215, and I was playing on my husband's computer, which is slower than mine, and just freezing them and refreshing my forts for over 2 hours, and I thought I was going to fall asleep doing it.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. When it got up there at around 400 or 350 or higher, usually it was you had so much lag, you did fall asleep while you were going. At least I did. That's why my 500s were rare. I would fall asleep and lose it.
Doesn't the good map always come up at bedtime?
They would always come up at bedtime, yeah. I noticed that for Melissa. A lot of times it did come up for her at bedtime. I don't know why she looked for them at that time. I would never look for them at that time, just in case. God forbid I'd find one at bedtime. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, according to Sarah, they show up at 2 a.m.
I'm not looking at 2 a.m. So.
No.
Pretty sure I've seen Dave complain about that. You know, he was about to go to bed, and then he got that amazing beat.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that.
And I'll never forget the time that I got the one castle. Maze. I mean,
you got the unicorn?
Yeah, I got the unicorn. And I learned that it was more of a pain in the, tuchus, whatever you want to call it, than a two castle. Because you constantly had to put castle in there to stop them, and you couldn't just block them easily. You had to just keep stopping them all the time. And that took so long.
I got one. It actually went faster because after you stopped them, you had more forts to put elsewhere. You could kill other ones that are stopped without running out of forts as quickly.
Lucky you, I did not have that kind of map.
It was like they would jump. It's like there wasn't even movement. It was from one square just to the other, just like that. I didn't like that last jump they could do. Oh, I didn't know they were going to jump like that.
Recorded for Episode 2 with Shushu62, WWJDFAKB, Troy D, and Random User.
And then I played a couple more games, and I found a few people that we all played like a team. And once we played like a team, we won the next game. We had all the members in our civilization were, you know, ranked 1 through 15. And after that, we went 3 or 4 games until we hit a guild. And once we hit a guild, that was it. We all were like, oh my God, they tore us apart. But it was fun to meet everybody and start a team like that.
I was like one of those people that wanted to join the 15, 20 person Civ. I was like, why wouldn't someone want to join that? But then later on, I started like, you know, actually like looking at the teams and looking at stars next to the little medals and stuff. And I was like, maybe I should join the team that has 3 on there. Well, that was a mistake too. They were pretty pissed that I joined their team.
Well, my experience was, you know, I did join one of those mega Civs at the time. Back then, it wasn't uncommon for them to be 25, 26 players. But I was lucky enough that in my second or third game that I played, about 12 or 13 of us actually communicated. And we worked together and we took over that server and won. And a bunch of us, I think it was like 6 or 7 of us, friended each other and then moved on to the next game together. So that was basically how the chaos started.
Yeah.
Was just by doing that.
And that's how the Vorg started too. It was Trinugan. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing it.
Trinwin?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Founder of Fenris. He was the one who taught me how to put the walls up and do the chats. And so it was go into the next game. I'd start a Civ. I say, hey, join my group. Here's the address. Then we can chat. I just keep doing it. And then I had people who came with me, you know, the next few games. It's how the guild started, is that, you know, I ended up with players who just kept playing the next game together and the next game together. And we'd invite people that we battled against on the previous server. And
we did it kind of different. We went from game to game, but we didn't put our game chat. We didn't know to do a game chat. We still used the actual games chat. And some of us, I guess it was maybe our 4th or 5th game, we ran into a guild. And after we ran into the guild and we got stomped really royally, the leader of that guild kind of took me on, and, you know, I got to talking to him. And he's the one that told me about the different chats and how to set them up and about guilds and things like that. And he really taught me how to battle, and he was just a great mentor to me. And I learned just about everything about the game through, well, you know, initially from him, and also about barb hunting. I still love to do that. I mean, well, I loved to do that. It's gone now.
Oh. I know. It's like, I used to do that. I used to go and I would kill other people's barbarians for them just because I needed something to do. I wasn't even
trying to up your population, obviously.
No, no. I wasn't joining their Civ to do it. I was doing it from outside my Civ. But I would just go kill them off because it was something fun to do when you had a whole bunch of troops at the end of a game and, you know, no time to do any more battles and you hadn't learned how to sell them all off yet.
Jim was the first one that helped me set up a city, and I don't see him a lot, and I never got really to play with him for in a long time, but
yeah.
he was the first person I friended on Facebook because of Civ.
He's a great artist. I love his stuff.
Yeah.
I just love talking to him about music and stuff too. He's just so much fun just to even chat with. I hope he never unfriends me. Diane, what 2 guilds were you in? Was it Falurgs and Troy's group?
No, Chaos, and then I popped over to Fame when Chaos got kind of quiet, but Troy always had first claim.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I never had a problem with Chaos players being in other guilds because, you know, it was more fun to mix and match, play different games with different people, different friendships, and learn different techniques. I didn't have a problem with anybody temporarily playing against us or playing with me and then playing against me. I mean, that was never a problem. People that had little petty issues like that, they weren't really into playing a game. They were, I don't know what they were, but not good sports. That's the only way I can put it, is that they weren't good sports.
Why I liked the throwbacks, because it kind of forced you into playing with other people, even if you didn't want to. And it's like, haha, now you have to play with me. Ha ha ha.
That's why I did that with the birthday game. Like, mix it up.
Yeah, I liked that idea. That was a good idea.
I didn't want to play the birthday game. My team was not looking good, so I was like, no. I'm sorry. I can't do it to myself right now. I'm sorry.
My team was tiny. We had to merge with 5 other months or some ridiculous thing.
Yeah, there weren't enough Scorpios.
That's weird.
Right?
Yeah.
I think it was John G's question, you know, like trying to determine the parentage or the lineage of the majority of the Civ World players. He was like, you know, what kind of personality traits do the majority of us have?
Gosh. Lineages? I'm a mutt. I mean, geez.
You know,
I am everything.
Yeah, he meant like
astrology.
You know how he is about
Okay. Sorry. Oh, my gosh. My mentor left Civ not too long after I met him, about maybe a month or two, because he actually had the nerve to get married, and his wife wouldn't let him play the game anymore.
Mike's home. You guys want to say hi to him?
Hi, Mike!
Wait. Hi, Mike!
Hey. Hi, Mike!
He was a great caravanner.
He wasn't in the room yet.
He loved the caravan game.
I want to say hi to you.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Mike. Hi,
everybody. Full grumble, grumble, grumble.
Heavy Russian Nazgul artillery.
Yes.
You gotta love them. You gotta love those guys.
A lot of people don't.
Well, I know, but it helps that I kind of discovered before they even had a name, and played with them, teamed up with my guild and their guild before they even had a name. So I got to know them pretty well, and they're a great group of guys, even though they do stomp me in the head sometimes.
Well, we used to be back last fall, I guess, when I found them. They were Team USSR.
Team USSR, right. Yeah, I knew them before they had the name.
I accidentally wandered into a guild game.
And I remember that, yeah.
Oh my gosh, I was so scared.
This is a very addictive game. If you get good at it, it will reach out. It will tie you to the game. You'll find yourself setting alarms to wake up for battles. You'll find yourself wanting to wake up to see if that price came down on whatever it was.
Or went up. Tracking,
or went up.
So you can sell into it.
Yes. You'll get yourself hooked in. And part of it is just doing it because I know I can and it's there and I want to make this happen. And part of it, which is more common, I mean, for market obsessives like Ed and I, it's just how we are.
There was a group that you could join if you were into caravanning. I loved that group, and it was another secret code of how to get the lowest score, and I can't delete it for whatever reason. I can't delete it. That's a group I cannot delete. I was like, oh, I felt really honored when they put me in that group, and I was like, oh, I can't delete that.
I think that's another one that keeps coming up as a suggested group to join.
Oh, man. AJ would just drive me crazy trying to explain how to do that. I was like, I don't really care. I'm sorry, AJ. It's just not my end all and be all.
The only time I took any semi-interest in caravan was when Angel was busy and we desperately needed to distract Doug from the market. And oh my God, I got like a 15 minute. Poor doggy is so patient, but I was like, I really don't care. And he's taking all this time. I felt so guilty. He was explaining me all those, the importance of using two pieces one after the other and this and that. And I just kept on making him talk and I felt so guilty because I really didn't care and I wasn't getting it.
Oh.
But you distracted him off the market.
But we needed him off the market so we could sell our science. Oh my God. Poor Doug. And when he realized that's what was happening, he's like, you know, I thought Angel was the only one to do that. I can't trust the women in your team. No, you can't. So he joined us. Poor Doug.
We wore him down.
Oh, yeah, we wore him down. But sadly enough, I've looked at the chat the other day and I was like, oh, wow, he was really taking all his time. Poor guy. Another little guilt trip. I was like, oops, since I didn't remember half of it. And I really couldn't do it still after that.
Recorded for episode 3 with Shushu 62, Paw Print 42, Angel Ledrich, José Jeanchon, and Rob G.
At the end of it, and while we had fun, I mean, I'll admit that was the beginning of my interest in caravanning. And for server with a bunch of noobs on it, they were actually pretty darn good at caravanning. They were quick. One of our teammates
probably one of our, I'd say, main caravanners. He was toying with them like a cat with mice. He would put the caravan, you know, it wasn't the lowest score by any means. So one of them would get a little bit lower, and then he would drop it like 10 points below theirs. And it's like, dude, you just tease them. And he was having so much fun teasing them and giving them the hope that they can get up with that caravan. It was kind of, I guess, cruel, because he would wait till like 5 minutes till the caravan was done.
Recorded for episode 7 with Pawprint 42, Angel Ledwich, Shushu 62, and Dave C.
All the burden of saving the game on my shoulders like I did the first time we ran one of these things. Because clearly this game was only here because of my charisma.
I will always enjoy your writings, Doug.
I was talking about that to somebody at work. You know, I've got a global readership of probably at least 20 people, which, you know, maybe it's not that impressive, but it is kind of cool how many people can go, yeah, you know, I got 20 people around the world who anytime I write a story, they just read it.
Well, and see, yeah. And this is why we need to get all of this transcribed and archived into the Chronicles page.
You should make a blog.
The short period of time when the Avatar worked, like for a day and a half, right? Not so long ago.
Oh, that was great.
And we were thinking of all joining again and putting the Star Trek, you know, avatars. And I was number one, and then Heather was the captain, and it was hilarious. And then it broke before we could do it.
Yeah.
But my husband was listening to all these, and he was just looking at me, shaking his head, thinking, my God, this is incredible. How can you do this? And he's like, you're a nerd. I'm like, yeah, I am. It's okay. but they broke, and I was so disappointed, because that would have been really funny, having the whole team with the Star Trek avatar.
Yeah, I even had I got decent pictures for almost everybody in the Vlahergs downloaded onto my computer.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I want to put it as my new war commander picture.
Which one is Angel?
She's one of the Klingon warrior women.
I like,
cool.
I like the Klingons, man.
Yeah.
One of the sisters, or which
one?
It's all boobies.
There you go, Dave. You got your boobies put in there.
There you go.
Kind of hoping that, it was an ideal that we could have a last game with some of the guilds and have the Civ rulers back with their tutus.
Yeah, I remember that game.
They still talk about it. Some of them still have those pictures.
Oh, I'm sure.
Hi, guys. My husband just made a suck puppet called Imaginary Friend.
He feels neglected, does he?
Yes, he used to do that when I was playing, too, you know, leaving me notes that he was going to leave an ad on Craigslist for a second wife and things like that. So now he's playing with the puppet that he made.
Well, I'll tell you what, I need his name, and I'll just send him some boobies, and he'll be happy.
But I just spend all my time chatting and Skyping with Heather anyway, so I'm at the computer anyway. Game or no game.
And of course, it's like just in the last 2 weeks, my husband finally installed Diablo 3, which I got him for his birthday last year, so he would leave me alone about being up all night playing Civ.
Yeah, my family's wondering why I'm still online all the time. I thought your game ended. Well, it did. I'm looking for something to fill its place, I guess. Is that Angel typing?
Yes, sorry.
Very loudly?
That was your problem. Troy, you can Skype anytime you want. There you go.
Thanks, Angel.
You're welcome. It doesn't even have to be Civ related.
We do Skype a lot.
And it is a great excuse to make my husband leave me alone. I am going to go Skype with a girl, talk to you later. You there, Megan?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, your microphone is the worst.
Oh, my God.
I don't have a mic on. I'm just using my computer.
Oh, you need a new...
I'm leaning forward. I think we lost Josie.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Oh.
I'm trying to reach.
Hey, I am back.
There she's back.
Hey.
Oh, sorry, middle of nowhere, funky internet. Here again, changing internet provider. It's amazing. I think I had more signal when I was in the middle of nowhere than in my house.
I need to shut a window. Somebody's mowing outside.
I should open mine. You could hear all the cicadas.
Wow, already? Wow.
We got the 17-year brood, too, going on outside. I don't know if they chirp at night, though. I think they only
No, they chirp all the time.
All the time. The thing that was so funny with my Borg thing, I have the Borg Queen still as my avatar. Every time I tell people I have an implant for them, when I talk to man, they're like, implants? Mistaking, of course, the type of implants you're going to get. And it starts the most hilarious conversation. And it's still doing it. I have to explain, no, Borg implant. You're sick. What kind of implant are you thinking about right now? Like somebody would tell me, if I had implants, I would never go out. I would never leave my house. And I was like, what kind of implants are you talking about?
I remember that one game you were in, Diane. You were out fishing.
We'd come back from fishing, you know, depending on what time we got done. And then I'd hook in on the lousy Wi-Fi at the campground.
Someone asked me if I would go on a fishing trip with them. I said, no, I'd rather game.
Yeah, mine never did make it into laminate, and it's pretty worn, but, you know, it's like I'm going to keep it because it's my list of the eras and what the bonus is, and then the list of the science, and then the other one hiding somewhere on my desk is the Wonder and Wonder Events reference.
So useful. People actually thought I knew what I was doing in the game. It was awesome.
It's like, no, you print out the damn cheat sheet. If you can't memorize it, have the reference handy.
Oops.
I've got Skype going and I'm chatting with him and I must have dropped the F-bomb like my husband kept looking and I'm like, hey sailor, don't tell me you've never dropped the F-bomb in this house.
My in-laws are coming. I have to remind my son.
Oh,
that doesn't need to be in the tape.
Dan will put it in there.
Record date, June 1st, 2013. Civilization World Sound Clips, copyright Take Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.